Greetings. How many of you remember me? Hey, wow! I'm surprised. So there may be a lot of people who I'll come up to you and say, now, what's your name? Because I've been around here for a while, you know. And I thought it was really interesting about the rainfall down. We've all been having that, right? In fact, where we were before up in Richmond, in our area, we had 5 tornadoes close to us. Only one person died. That's really sad that it did, but thankful that none others did. And all over in that area, there were 10 tornadoes. It was never done before in that area. So it was kind of a scary time. But on the other side of rain is a great gift, just as the song has shared with that so beautifully. Appreciate that. So Randy and I were co-pastors there for quite a while. And after he came for the second time, he decided that it would go better if I didn't come. But anyway, I hope that as you look at what we're talking about, is three different things: light and life. Right, that's one. What's the second one? Anybody got one? It's right there in the bulletin, right? Yeah, Aaron was, and that was the last one. Right, and it's like three things put together in one thing. I hope you can hear it, how it winds against that. I will begin right away, so that some of you don't. I've gone through a long time very recently, and the one thing you'll hear more about in a little bit, I just want you to know this, that I am now struggling with many kinds of things. Alzheimer is what I'm going with now. And that's kind of a scary thing. You know, you'll hear more about that. From Proverbs, just read, I loved that title, or those few words, because it really helped me at the time. Like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land. Have you ever been just so weary of life you hardly can't live it anymore? Just like you're going down, what's happening? What is wrong with my life? What's going on in my friends with where I'm at, what I'm growing up? You ever hear that anyway, just being like weary like this, going home? Anybody like that ever? We've all had times like that, haven't we? We stumble around a lot of that. But we feel broken sometimes, and we feel like a weary soul. But the good news was Jesus talking to a woman at a well. And what did she say to him, or to him, to her, about her weariness? And she was offering her water, water and with life, a fountain of life. Remember that story? It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And the part of Mark's really, I like that a lot too, because it talked about the time that has come, that the kingdom of God has come near. You ever feel that? You ever feel like God's that close to us, that kingdom of God? How close is the kingdom of God right now? Can you point to it? It's right over your shoulder, because that's what it says. It's near, and all you have to do is turn around. Not to Randy, but kingdom of God. No, I'm kidding. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing too, that it calls us to repent and to turn around, because that's where the new is, right there, right over the shoulder. And it can even come so much close to us, it can grow deeper into our being. And whenever we're struggling and whenever we're hurting, just turn around and you know he's there all the time. Never forget that, no matter what it is. The kingdom of God is there for all of us. Now, when I was saying that, I was saying some problems that I had, especially that you've heard some of it already. I was 72 years, and 72 years healthy. I was still playing basketball, I was playing tennis, I was hiking, I was doing all kinds of things, you know. And then all of a sudden, about that year, the end toward that end year, and then the next year, and all of a sudden, some really scary things happened to me. And this is not just for me, because it happens to people all over the world. There are people who have run into things that have just took them down. Some of them have just pulled them down with not fear, but for like they're dying even. I mean, but people ever have that there, and that kingdom of God is still right there with them no matter what it was. But during that time, I went to the emergency room. Didn't know for sure why. There's a lot of pain, right? And next thing I know, I had a fluttering heart thing. Never had any problem with the heart. You've heard of that before, right? Well, they went in and they did that. They took that out of the problem. Good. But after a month of that, which happens, next thing it was AFib. Anybody have AFib here? I'm sure a lot of people know what that is. So I had the blood thinner and trying to lessen any possibility of any strokes. So knew that was there. So that was the first time when I was going, ugh, what is going, what's happening to me here? And next thing I know, there was an esophagus I had to go to, and it turned out to be Barrett's esophageal. Ever hear that one? Cancer. They found cancer there. So one thing happens, next thing I know, cancer. Fortunately, they did a lot of work with that, and it's gone. That's a great gift, too. And then an odd one is, one morning when I was writing, all of a sudden, all of my fingers got numb. All of them. No, I'm sorry, just this one. I thought, that's weird. Next time, hands numb. Oh, gosh, the arms numb. The elbow, all the shoulder and tongue. and all the way down my leg. On the right-hand side, my whole body was numb. I thought, now that's an odd thing, isn't it? I doubt that that'll ever happen again, right? Well, about 3 days later, wife and I, we were planning to go to Pittsburgh to visit our son. And it happened again. Again, for about 5 minutes, happened again. I said, hey, we need to go back to the hospital, see what's going on here. And so we did that day, headed off. And by the time I got there, there it was again, all the numb, once again. And the doctors looked at it and said, your body is telling you something. We have got to do something. So they got into the hospital and they looked at everything. And what happened was they said that there was a pool of blood very close to your brain. And you could have a stroke or seizure right now. It's that close. We have got to get work at you. I was in the hospital for 4 days. And fortunately, through all of that, my body somehow took that pool of blood, took it away. There was no strokes or seizure or anything. And my body absorbed it, and there was no strokes. Wow, that's a gift again. And I'm going, wow, I've had all this stuff, and man, has God ever really taken good care of me? So we looked at that, and they told us how good that was. And because I had already struggled a little bit with this going on, a little bit more, that when they looked to the ERM, and then they took all the stuff that looked like put on top of your head, you know, all the electricity kind of thing. And they said, just for absolutely sure, the bad news is we have discovered Alzheimer's disease. And I knew that's for sure. And I have to be honest, at that time, I had gotten through some of the stuff, that were going to go away. This doesn't go away. And next thing I know, I am afraid. I'm depressed. Went through that. Kind of lost in the darkness. Kind of had to like a lot of people have done this, you've probably had these words called out. God, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Why me? Why me? You ever hear people doing that? Why does this happen to me? And so there I am, afraid, depressed, lost in the dark. How is this going to come around? John 1:5 were words. Sometimes words just come to you. You don't know quite why sometimes, but these words came to me. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not come over it. And that feeling like I was in darkness, that just said to me, yeah, it will go away. It will go away. I begin to feel that. And along with that, I was sleeping. I think I was still in the hospital. And I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, I just jumped up. I didn't know what was happening. And I heard somebody whispering. And I thought, who's that whispering? Nobody's around here. And all of a sudden, is it God? And I went, what? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, but there's something. And then all of a sudden, very simple words. These words either came from God or from my brain or from somewhere, but you can never really say for sure how that works out. It could have been the Spirit. It could have been just anything. But the word said, drink my cup. There will be light, and there will be life. Now, that didn't come out of Scripture, any that I know anyway. And that just struck me. Just, wow. All of a sudden, there were tears running down my eyes. And just all of a sudden, I felt so much at peace. I just felt peace. Peace was just like this. But peace is also like you don't always have it fully in your hands, and we still have struggles going through that we can't hold it all the time. So honestly, I was still struggling with all of this, even along with those words. And I still struggled. And it's not just me that struggles. It's many, 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 many people. And the person that has the most to struggle with the two is my wife, Pat. And I think about Alzheimer's disease, as time comes, keeps coming, one of these days, Pat will probably be her caretaker. That may well happen in my life. I don't know. I give thanks for her. But that's what we have to go through right now. So I struggle with it. As I said, my wife does. It's difficult. It's not an easy thing to keep on going through. But then I read a book that I had found out. I don't know if you ever heard of you haven't. I went to another bookstore that I love, that bookstore. He is just so good. And he gave me this book, said, you might like this book. And I didn't really read it yet. I didn't know quite what it was. And then my wife, Pat, brought it to the hospital and said, hey, bring this one. She brought a couple of books you like to read, so go ahead and read this one. And it was a book by the title, believe it or not. The title was A Small Cup of Light. That book is made only twice in two places all over the country. One in California, one in Pennsylvania. And the man in Pennsylvania, I know him well. He's friends of that guy. There's nobody else has had that anywhere except those two places. And I just caught that with those words as well. The bad guy was named Ben. I'm not sure he's saying his name right for his last name. Palpunt is the last part of his name. And he wrote these words. Before I tell you that he went a lot through the pain that I had, but not the same thing. It's a whole different thing. What happened to him first, he was a teacher teaching Christianity, and he was getting ready to say to his people there, ready to teach. He says, well, you got to know that we talked about this last week, and now we're going to have to go through this. So listen now, this has to... He couldn't speak, just like that. Next thing you know, he started having seizures and falling down all the time. He went through all kinds of things like that, and he went through the fear that I was talking about. I could have read that book and say that was me. and I heard those, or read those, I've read these words a lot. And what he wrote was, because he was also shouting out to God, why me, why me, why me? And then he realized, when he saw that light, that little cup of light, he realized, that's God. He's been there with me all the time. That light cannot be taken away. And he said, I am the problem, not God. I'm the problem, he said. So he began to stop a bit and try to just listen to God, rather than me telling God what God should do for me. And he did that as well. He said, it's not so much about what I'm doing for God, but what he is doing for me. And that changed his life too. Still had what he had, falling down, not being able to speak at times. It's something like I said before, it's a disease. It's not God saying something against me that's bad. It's still going to be with all of us. So that's the first part. Then the next part is air and breath. How many people have breath today? Now, isn't that great? And the air is still around right now, too, right? All right, yeah, that's a great thing. But when you think about it, God has breath life into all of us. You want to start it? This is the first ones, Adam and Eve. Breath has been happening in our life from then ever. The breath doesn't go away. It stays in all the world. So people out there 1,000 years ago were still having the same breath. Have you heard about that before? They looked at it, science, and talked about that. And other people, a couple of books have talked about that. And that just is a fascinating thing when you think about it. Air, breath. Wind is part of breath, I guess, and so is the Spirit of God. I always think of that, the Spirit, the wind and the fire and the Pentecost. There's always that part of all of these things. Air, breath, wind, spirit, they're everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I'm talking about the world. We don't know all the people of the world, but you know a lot of names of them, and they're, unfortunately, there's a lot of people, some kinds of people, group of people, different places, different countries. There are many people who hate people in some places, even. People who hate right here in our country for people in our country. We hate each other. Isn't that terrible? That is just terrible. I run these back. Of all the people that should be loved, because we all have the same breath that came from God. Africans, Hindus, Muslims, Mexicans, Australia, gay, lesbian, Native Americans, Brazilian Americans, all breathing of the same breath all the time. Can you let that come in? And just be ready to embrace anybody that comes from any color, any place, anywhere, and to be able to love each other. Again, in the scriptures and Paul, First Thessalonians, part of it, just a little bit of it, said to rejoice at all times and pray without ceasing and giving in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit will be with you, the wind, the breath, the air, and it's always near to the kingdom of God. Every person, every woman, every man, everything. That's where we're living right now. Can you grasp that? It's hard, isn't it? Without the wind, think about this, a little imagination. Think about the wind and have no sail. How's the boat doing? Unless you have a paddle, but one that has to have a sail. It won't go anywhere, will it? If Jesus would be the sail, if he didn't have the sail, he would be in status quo, right? So if I got a boat and I don't have a sail, it's sort of status quo. You just stand there. And God comes to be the sail. And then when the wind comes up, what happens to the wind? Where does the sail go? It goes where Jesus leads us to go, whether that might be. So how close are we to God's creation, who breathed life into our life and has sent us by a sail to go to all the other people in the world? Doesn't mean you'll go out and see everybody of all the world, but you can at least pray for them. And you can see their struggles and help them when they need help, and you can. So life to all, air and breath. That was just one page. Already got the first one, now that one little page. And there was somebody that once said that the best thing when you're preaching is to do good, get a good starting, and then a very short one in the middle, and then get rid of the next one. So this is the last one about the body of Christ. How many of you use that word very much, the body of Christ? Is that a common kind of a word for you? I've heard some people say that our church is the body of Christ. And I've always thought that's not true. It's not our church. It's God's. It's the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, which again we've talked a little bit about, is that God has been placed at all things under his feet, that is, Paul, that he's appointed him to be the head over all things for the church. So there's church. That's a good thing. I'm glad we're here. That's a wonderful thing. But we don't worship the church. It's the person who comes into our church with us, as brothers and sisters who are here for each other to grow with the body of Christ. For the body of Christ is the fullness of him who fills all in all, every way. That means everybody here in this church is meant to be loved to each other, to forgive each other, to embrace each other, to help that person grow me and another person help them grow me. And we learn that day by day by day by day. You can't go there one day and then all of boom, it's gone, it's done. You know, it takes every time we're together, all the time. The body of Christ comes to fill all humans. Jesus reaches out for all the world. He reaches out for the poor, for the lost and broken, the tax collectors, prostitutes, his healing love of the Samaritans, the enemies. Jesus is almost in that stance, isn't he? Just ready to put his arms around anybody. Think about forgiveness and how Jesus would take that in when he's landing on a cross and everybody just look up at him. And what do you think Jesus is saying? He's saying, Father, forgive me, for they do not know what they do. And he's standing there to forgive them. You know anybody you've never been able to forgive to? Go meet that person and let's get things straight. That's really important to do when you think of those words of Jesus right there on the cross. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? There's Paul again from Rome 6:19. The temple fell down, right, in the scriptures. Did Jesus think that we had to build another one right away? No, the early Christians, they just went to each other's homes. They didn't have to build a building. They didn't have to build a building because why? Because the temple is your soul. It's been there in us all the time. So we can have that wherever we are, whether it's a house, whether it's a building, whether it's a church, whether it's wherever. We can be there with God. I think people from all kinds of countries have pain, and they cry out for love, and they cry out for peace, and they cry out for freedom, and they cry out for their children and their families. And I always think of it, we all, along with Jesus, we have some water to give them, who will become to give them in the spring of water, who is welling water up into eternal life. That's an amazing thing too, isn't it? Well, I'm going to try to get this going too fast. I feel going too far, I think. But there is this unchanging news where there is peace is possible. There is unconditional love. There is forgiveness. There is free grace. These things should never change. God's Spirit is the heart of the transformation of the process of spiritual life for us, and not just for individuals, but for all the people in the church, in life, not just on a Sunday. It happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. Imagine you are a precious diamond. How many of you have diamonds? Diamonds are precious, aren't they, for whatever that we have. Just have this precious diamonds, this preciousest diamond. And here comes Jesus, and he comes and says, I'm gonna set you free. What do you think that means? Can you put that together? I think what it really means, I got this out of a book too, but I can't remember who wrote it. But He did it for a whole piece like that. I'm just going to go here. But he said what he's coming for is because that diamond, that precious diamond, has been in your soul all your life. And when we die, that soul right there is the whole being to be with God, with the Spirit, with Christ. He tells us that the most easily forgotten and He tells us that the most easily forgotten and often overlooked miracles for all of our existence around, that's already around, hidden grace, hidden, a hidden diamond. Because we are always, always with the body of Christ, the nearness of the kingdom of God, and the whispering and teaching of the Spirit. So, light and life, air and breath, the body of Christ. I pray that you be rooted and established in love, maybe power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this is love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's from Paul, Ephesians. I love that part. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Stop a minute. Pray for your church. Just a short prayer. God, we know this church fills with light, air, breath, life, love to embrace us all in the body of Christ, all of us here right now. What a miracle. Amen.